Happy Koinonia. Yeah, you can do better. It's good to see everyone. Please, first of all, thank you for Paul and Candace for the special music. It's amazing, and I've mentioned this. I have the opportunity, and Kim and I have the opportunity to go to other congregations, and it's amazing the talent we have here. And I know there's a fear of AI in the future, but we can see how AI has actually accentuated the talent we have here. So it's a real blessing, and thank you for that special music. I want to say hello to all those on Zoom. Hope you all are doing well. Welcome to services here. And Frank has been very kind about my role in the home office. If you remember Linda Oppie, and she's the operations manager for financial services, and she's an amazing person to work with, and I cannot say enough about what she is lending to all the changes that we're putting in place to, as I mentioned to the council, to bring it to a gold standard and best practices. So really a lot of the kudos goes to Linda. And as with regard to our house, we had our first inspection glitch. But, you know, it says in the Bible, unless the Lord shall build the house, the weary builder toils in vain. I think we're learning this script. We're really breathing that scripture right now. And we believe that it will all work out. Ultimately, at the end of the day, we know it's going to work out. And just one of those things you have to endure and work through and be a Christian light through the whole process. So we're optimistic that we'll get through this one hurdle. They're allowing us to continue to build. So that's the good news. So before Passover, I gave a message entitled, Becoming Who We Already Are. And in that message, we examined how the Passover and the days of unleavened bread reveals how God works in our lives, from the calling us into a relationship through Jesus Christ, through shaping us into the people he wants us to become in our life's journey. And together, the Passover and days of unleavened bread remind us that God's purpose is not merely to forgive our sins. Through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, he establishes a relationship with us, a new relationship with us, a new identity as his people, and begins the lifelong process of transforming each and every one of us to reflect his character. And we examined three important themes as it related to the Passover and days of unleavened bread. First of all, we said Passover defines us. Deliverance sets us apart and establishes who we belong to, and that is God. And Passover is not only about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sin, it's about a covenant identity. Turn to 1 Peter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. And it states, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light." This is identity language. It identifies who each and every one of us are. Chosen, royal, holy, and special. And at times, it's hard to remember that, isn't it? When we're going through, especially when we're going through the process of self-examination, where we have fallen short, where we have stumbled, where we have fallen. And Paul emphasizes God's ownership of our lives, since he calls us his chosen generation. And throughout history, God has claimed a people as a treasured possession. Though believers in Jesus Christ may seem ordinary, we're just ordinary people, our lives have measurable value because we belong to God. The second theme that we covered is that unleavened bread shapes us. Spiritual growth is more than just removing what is wrong, just putting sin out of our lives. It's about cultivating sincerity and truth and godly character. Ephesians 4, verse 20 through 24. And it states, "But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." We're told to put off the old man and then put on the new man. In other words, the goal is not simply subtraction, it's alignment. The third theme we covered was these days remind us to look ahead in faith and trusting God's process rather than clinging to past habits or comforts. The Christian journey, our life's journey, is about moving forward and not backwards. And sometimes we can't help ourselves. We become overly focused on the past. We keep replaying failures in our minds. We revisit mistakes that we have repented of, and we relive sins that God has already forgiven. Sins that God says are as far as east is from the west. Psalm 103, verse 12, where it says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us." And at times we allow those memories of past failures to linger longer than they should. Even after repentance, our minds can turn back to what has already been forgiven, and allowing guilt and regret to shape how we see ourselves. And when that happens, we begin to measure our present standing with God by our past mistakes rather than by his mercy. Scripture continually directs us to redirect our perspective. While God removes our transgressions and chooses not to hold them against us, he assures us that the relationship we have with him is not defined by lingering guilt, but by the grace he has extended through Jesus Christ. This leads to another powerful reminder of how God now views those that belong to him. Romans 8, verse 1. Where it states, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." So in practical terms, becoming who we already are encourages the believer to view the Christian life as a process of growing into the identity that God has already given them, given us, chosen, royal, holy, set apart, children of God, different from the world. Spiritual growth, then, is not about earning salvation through human effort, but it's about learning to live consistently with the calling we have received through Jesus Christ. Yet our journey with Jesus Christ is not simply a matter of self-improvement through human strength alone. Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread teach us about redemption, about identity, and the responsibility to put sin out of our lives and to pursue sincerity and truth in all we do. But the Spring Holy Days, when we include Pentecost, also reveals something more, how that transformation is made possible. Now that the spring holy day season has concluded with the keeping of the day of Pentecost, we can step back and see the progression more clearly. Passover reminds us that we are redeemed through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Days of unleavened bread remind us that we are called to leave sin behind and live a different life, full of sincerity and truth. And the giving of the Holy Spirit, symbolized by the day of Pentecost, reveals how God empowers his people to become what he has called them to be and to achieve their destiny. Together, these spring holy days reveal God's work with the first fruits, those God has called now, those he's calling now in advance of the greater harvest that is still to come. The fall holy days then broaden the picture to include all of mankind and the fulfillment of God's plan for the entire world. With that larger perspective in mind, I would like to complete the theme of becoming who we already are by examining three aspects of how God's Spirit grows us into the identity that he has given us and moves us towards the destiny that he has prepared for each and every one of us. And this is through, empowers us to change. God's Spirit forms his character in us, and God's Spirit points us to the future. For those who would like to have a title, it is Becoming Who We Already Are, From Identity to Destiny. So let's begin with the first aspect of our journey from identity to destiny. God's Spirit empowers us to change. One of the great lessons of Pentecost is that God never calls us to change without giving us the power to change. Ancient Israel received God's law on Mount Sinai around the time associated with Pentecost. And the law itself, as we know, was holy, just, and good. Yet Israel's history revealed an important reality about human nature. Even when people are given God's standards, human effort is not enough. It's not enough to produce the lasting spiritual change. The problem was never with the law. The problem was with the human heart. That's why the new covenant includes something greater than just external instruction alone. God promised not only to reveal his will to the people, but also to dwell with them through his Spirit. What Israel could not accomplish through human strength alone, God will accomplish through his Spirit by working with his people, by working with each and every one of us. Acts 2 records the fulfillment of the promise following the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's turn Acts 2, verses 1 through 4, and I'd like to read from the New Living Translation. Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. And it states, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm in the house, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each one of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. This moment marked the beginning of the church, but it also brought something deeply personal for every believer. God would work with his people directly in a personal and transforming way. An apostle Paul later explained this reality in personal terms when he wrote it in Romans 8, verse 9. Romans 8, verse 9. Romans 8, verse 9. In Romans 8, verse 9, it says, "But you are not in the flesh of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his." Our journey isn't about behavior modification or changing our own behavior or trying harder through human determination. God places his Spirit in us so that our minds, our desires, our attitudes can become more aligned with his own. Spiritual change is not self-generated. It's Spirit-empowered. This connects directly to the theme of becoming who we already are. Through Jesus Christ, believers are already, we are already children of God. We are already saints. We are already heirs of the coming kingdom. God's Spirit enables us to grow to that identity more fully. We are not attempting to create a new identity through our own efforts. Rather, we're learning to consistently live with the identity God has already given us. Long before the New Testament church began, the prophet Ezekiel foretold of this inward transformation. Ezekiel 36, verse 26. Ezekiel 36, verse 26. It states, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, that you will keep my judgments and do them." The word cause is important. God's Spirit actively helps us walk in his ways. That doesn't mean perfection comes instantly. Yes, we will struggle. Yes, we battle human nature. We will still face moments of failure and human weakness. But we're reminded that through receiving God's Spirit, we're not doing it alone. The same God who calls us is actively working in us. Romans 8, verse 26. Romans 8, verse 26. Romans 8, verse 26. "Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered." God doesn't merely command transformation. He empowers it with the presence of his Holy Spirit dwelling within each and every one of us. The second aspect of our journey from identity to destiny is God's Spirit forms his character in us. When we think about the gift of the Holy Spirit, we sometimes focus on the power, the miracles, or the boldness. While those things can certainly accompany God's Spirit, the greatest evidence of the Spirit is not outward display, but it's inward change. The true work of God's Spirit is seen in a transformed heart, a transformed mind, a transformed way of life. Galatians 5:22. Galatians 5, verse 22. It states, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, and long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. It's important that we see here that Paul uses the word fruit. Fruit, how does it develop? Immediately? No. Fruit develops over time with nourishment and steady growth. And that's the same way God's character is formed within believers as they progressively grow with the Spirit working with them. This connects directly to the theme of becoming who we already are. When God calls us, He already declares us to be His children and saints and heirs of the kingdom. By giving us His Spirit, God begins the process of producing His own character within us over time. The Christian journey is therefore not about pretending to be something we are not, but it's about gradually growing into the identity that God has already given us through Jesus Christ. Importantly, this ongoing growth is itself evidence that God is working in our lives. During our times of self-examination, times when we were reflecting upon our lives, we so heavily focus on our weaknesses, our failures, our remaining struggles that we may be overlooking the spiritual growth that God has already produced. And when we stop and reflect honestly, we may recognize that there's meaningful changes taking place. Perhaps we're more patient than we used to be. Maybe we're more forgiving. Maybe we're more sensitive to our own shortcomings. Maybe we're more aware of our need for God and more willing to obey Him, even when it's difficult. Those changes do matter. They are evidence that God's Spirit is actively working with each and every one of us. Paul emphasized this continuing process in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. And it states, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." Notice again the language of progress. Being transformed. We are being told that spiritual growth is ongoing. God is patient with our development because He is building something eternal within us. Character is not formed instantly. It's developed through years of learning, repentance, endurance, obedience, and dependence on God. This understanding also changes the way we view one another within the family of God. If all believers are in the process of spiritual growth, then we need to learn to extend patience, mercy, encouragement, and understanding toward one another. We recognize that every member of God's family is at a different stage in the process of becoming what God has called them to be. Rather than expecting instant perfection, we learn to support and strengthen one another as fellow members of God's family in spite of our weaknesses. God is not only working individually believers. He's building a spiritual family together, shaping His people collectively to the character and the likeness of Jesus Christ. The third aspect of our journey from identity to destiny is God's Spirit points us to the future. The meaning of Pentecost is not only about what God is doing in us today, it's also what He is preparing us to become tomorrow. We know that Pentecost pictures the first fruits, the harvest, reminding us that God is now only calling a comparatively small number of people in advance of the greater harvest to come. Those who God called today are being prepared for a future role of his kingdom and a participation in his eternal family. The theme of first fruits runs throughout the New Testament. The church did begin on Pentecost because God was beginning the first stage of a much greater plan of salvation. Believers today are described as first fruits because they are called ahead of the rest of humanity. But first fruits imply something important. There's a larger harvest coming later. It reminds us that God's plan is not limited to this present age. And sometimes we can get lost in our worries, in our troubles, in our challenges of our present age, that we lose sight of the vision God has provided to each and every one of us. His purpose ultimately extends to all mankind, as pictured by the remaining holy days in the fall. At the heart of that purpose is God's desire to reproduce his own character and life within humankind. Romans 8, verse 29. It states, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." The New Life Version provides an interesting rendition of this scripture, where it states, "God knew from the beginning who he would put their trust in him. So he chose them and made them to be like his Son. Christ was the first of all those who belong to God and are his brothers." God is not simply preparing obedient servants. He's preparing sons and daughters, brothers and sisters. And what God is accomplishing through his Spirit in our lives today is preparation for a destiny beyond anything that we can presently comprehend. And this future includes rulership in the kingdom of God. Revelation 5, verse 8 through 10. Revelation 5, verses 8 through 10. It speaks of the saints at the time of the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. Revelation 5, verses 8 through 10. It states in verse 8, "Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain and redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And you and made us kings and priests unto our God, and we shall reign on the earth.'" The calling we have received is not only about personal salvation, it's about preparation for service. God is training his people now so they may assist Jesus Christ in his future government and participate in the restoration of the world under his rule. The gift of God's Spirit, therefore, is more than just for help for daily living. And indeed, it is important, and we need God's Spirit in our daily lives. It is the guarantee of what we'll ultimately become. Through God's Spirit, believers have the assurance that they will one day be fully changed. The completed Holy Day season is therefore meaningful and deeply hopeful. It reminds us that God just doesn't simply forgive us and then leaves us on our own. Through the gift of His Spirit, He dwells in us, shapes us, and leads us according to His purpose. Yes, we stumble. Yes, we still battle weaknesses in human nature. Yet God is patient and is working with us, helping us to become what we already are, His people, His children, members of His family. The spring holy days reveal an important part of God's plan of salvation. Passover reminds us of our redemption through Jesus Christ. The days of unleavened bread reminds us of our calling to put sin out of our lives and walk in sincerity and truth. And Pentecost reveals how God makes that calling possible through the gift of His Spirit and points us toward the future that He's preparing for His first fruits. As we have seen today, God's Spirit is helping us grow into the identity He has given us while preparing us for the destiny He has promised. God's Spirit empowers us to change. God's Spirit forms His character within us, and God's Spirit points us to our future calling, serving not only as the power for present change, not only for the changes we make in our daily lives, but also the guarantee of our future and inheritance in God's family. As first fruits, we are now being prepared for the kingdom of God, for the resurrection, the eternal life in God's family. And the time period between Pentecost and Feast of Trumpets represents this present age, a time where God is working with His first fruits before Christ's return. While the world remains largely unaware of His plan, God is developing His people, shaping their character, deepening their relationship with Him, and preparing them for future service under Jesus Christ. This is not a time to stand still spiritually. It's a time to grow, a time to overcome, a time to become what we've already been called to be. Through His Spirit, God is preparing a people that one day will serve along with Jesus Christ in His kingdom. Then, at the Feast of Trumpets, the focus shifts from God's present work with the first fruits to His direct intervention of world affairs and the beginning of the greater harvest to come. That's why the spring holy day season should just give us so much hope. The God who has called us is not abandoning us to our own efforts. He is actively working with our lives, shaping us for the future He has promised each and every one of us. As the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 1 verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that He who begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God has begun that work in each and every one of us. And through His Spirit, He continues it today. He is helping us grow into the identity He has given while He's preparing us for the destiny He has promised. That is the journey pictured by the spring holy days, a journey from identity to destiny, from calling to fulfillment, from first fruits to the fullness of God's family. And we can be confident that the one who began this good work in us will bring it to completion at the return of Jesus Christ. Have a great remainder of the Sabbath.